in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. If you are living in the presence of God, the Bible says, it is fullness of joy. If you are not joyful, is it possible you have religion, but not God? We are going to finish our series on the book of Philippians. Now, before we close the series, let me ask you a question. How many of you have been robbed? Have you been robbed? You know, there are many ways of being robbed. The worst is to be robbed by somebody you trust. Am I correct?
Yes.
Today, I want to share with you how to guard your joy from being robbed. I will expose to you three robbers. The way to protect yourself from being robbed is to identify and recognize who are the robbers. So the topic today, as we close the book of Philippians, guard your joy, beware of joy robbers. So who are the three robbers I'd like you to meet? Are you ready? Number one, worry. What do we mean by worry? Worry is from the Greek word merimao, meaning a divided mind. Your mind is not focused, so you are worried. Do you know hard work does not really exhaust you? It is worry. You keep worrying. Divided mind. Now, what do we mean by divided mind? Well, let's look at how that word is used. Together, please read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Together now. Be anxious for nothing. How many of you are worried about something today? You are worried about something. Is there something worrying you today? Yes or no? Be honest. Okay. Don't tell me what they are. But I know if you are a normal human being, you will probably worry about something. So what do you do when you are worried? This is something you must know. Worry is a thief. It's a robber. It will rob you of joy. So Paul says, let's read this together. One more time, the whole verse. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. Very good. Nothing in Tagalog means wala. In Spanish, de nada. Be anxious for nothing. But you are anxious of something. This is a command. The grammar is stop worrying. The grammar is saying you are already worrying. So the Bible says, stop worrying. Do you understand the grammar? They are already worrying. And Paul is saying, stop worrying. And this is in the present tense. Reminding you, stop worrying. Stop worrying. What must you do when you worry? Every time you worry, it's a trigger. It's a reminder. It's time to pray. In everything by prayer. Notice, he used different words for prayer. Supplication. Another word for prayer. It is asking for something. Supplication. With thanksgiving. It's not enough to ask. You must include faith. Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. So prayer is letting whatever's bothering you, small or big, to God. Now, what do you need to do after you pray? You thank Him in advance. So prayer is the key in removing worry. Did you know a research was made by the University of Pennsylvania? Their research discovered the following. 91% of what people worry about do not ever happen. So I don't know about you. So what is Jesus saying? Well, Jesus is telling you how to pray. The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all of this. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. The secret of overcoming worry is to know you have a Father who is in heaven. The people of the world cannot have this kind of experience because they have religion, but they don't really have a heavenly Father. The Bible is telling you today, you have a Father who is in heaven. What does that mean? I am a father. I finally understood the heart of a father. God gave me 5 wonderful children, 23 grandchildren, counting. The 24th is coming, okay? But I've learned something about being a father. A father wants to protect his children, wants to provide for his children. A father loves his child. Jesus is saying, stop worrying about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall worry. Stop. Why? Your heavenly Father knows. So my friend, when you pray, are you able to entrust your problem to our heavenly Father? You can only trust somebody that you really know and you know his ability. You cannot trust God if you don't know him. You cannot trust somebody if you don't know the person. I submit to you, the key to overcoming worry is develop a real encounter knowledge of who God is. The more I know God, the less I worry. The more I know God, the more I can trust him. So what is tip number one? Worry. Let's read this together one more time. Be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice, with thanksgiving. So when you pray, you tell God the problem and you thank him. This is the promise of God. Look at this verse. And everybody read, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You cannot know why, but you have peace, is this word, will guard. That is a military word. That word guard is like a group of soldiers surrounding you. The Bible says you'll be guarded by the peace of God. You will have peace. And I've seen this in my own life. Years ago, I praised God for CCF, but I don't know if you recall, years ago, a doctor came to me. You know, I praise God for CCF, okay? His specialty is lung, cardio, everything. He said, Peter, have an x-ray. So I had my x-ray, and he looked at the x-ray. Peter, I don't like the x-ray. Come to my office. So I went to his office. No. In fact, he came to my office. That's how good CCF doctors are. First-class service. He said, sit down. I think you may have cancer. I said, cancer? I think you may have. I'm not sure. You need biopsy. I said, okay. When do I have biopsy? As soon as possible. I said, if I have biopsy, that means, can I travel? No, you cannot travel for a while because we will puncture your lungs. And if you are in the airplane, something bad may happen. You cannot travel. Oh, I said, let me discuss with my wife. Let me pray about it. So when I went home, I told my wife. And for the first time, I saw my wife in tears. I realized she really loved me. Okay? Guys, if you tell your wife you may have cancer, and your wife said, really? What? That's a bad wife. Anyway, I have a good wife. So, we process it together. You know how I process it? Remember, worry will come knocking. But you don't allow worry to become a permanent guest. This is my own quotation. When worry come knocking, what must you do? Open the door and say, go back to where you came from. Don't make worry a permanent guest in your house, okay? So what did I do? I processed it. After processing it, I told my wife, I will not have the biopsy yet. Let's push through with our plan. You see, we were going to fly out. The next few days, we were going to fly out. Guess where? To Barcelona. To go to a cruise. So I told my wife, I would rather have cruise with you than to die without having any cruise with you. So we have good memories. But seriously, why did I choose that option? Not to worry. I thought about dying. If you have cancer, what's the worst that can happen? You get cured or you die. If you die, what's the worst that can happen? You go to heaven or you go to hell. In my case, I am very sure I will go to heaven. So I told my wife, don't worry. So we did not take the biopsy. We went on a cruise. When I came back, did I enjoy the trip? You bet. Was I nice to my wife? You bet. Was she nice to me? You bet. You know why? If you know somebody may die, you better be nice to that person. And if I know I'm going to die, I'll be nice to you. Okay, perspective. Anyway, make a long story short, we went to the hospital before biopsy, x-ray again. Okay, x-ray again. So, previous x-ray, current x-ray. Wow. They said, you don't have cancer. And the people, they were all from CCF. No cancer. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you have rumors, look at me. I'm healthy, by the grace of God, no cancer. Praise God. Amen? Therefore, the number one rubber when it comes to joy is worry. Number two. Are you ready for number two? Remember, what's the topic today? Guard your joy. Guard against rubber number one, worry. What is guard? What is worry? What is the thief number two? Everybody read? Wrong, say that with me. Wrong thinking. What is wrong thinking? Well, let's read together. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The only verb in this verse, the operative verb, is a command. It says, dwell. It's a command. Dwell on these things. You capture your mind. Only think of these things. What are these things you are commanded to think? Grammatically, it's present tense. Keep on thinking these things. Don't think of other things. Keep on focusing on these things. What are these things? It's called what? Right thinking versus wrong thinking. It's called positive thoughts. Positive thinking was invented by Jesus, by the Bible. It was invented by God's people, not psychologists. To be positive in your thinking is biblical. And this is positive thinking. Whatever is true. Notice, not lies. You and I believe lies. Satan is a liar. He wants you to believe what is not true. Whatever is honorable is positive, not shameful, honorable. Everything is positive. Whatever is right, don't believe in what is falsehood, what is wrong. Whatever is pure, something that is not, shall we say, garbage, pure, holy, not unholy. All positive. What else? Whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. Positive thinking is the responsibility of believers to think right. Dwell on these things. Now, you ask me, how do I think right? The Apostle Paul is a master teacher. The Apostle Paul says, these things you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is an amazing teacher. He says, what you see in me, I'm in prison. Am I joyful? I'm joyful. What you have seen, what you have heard. Notice, discipleship. What you have learned and received, but more than that, heard and seen. That's how you become effective influencer. Father, mother, you don't want your children to worry. Be a model. Don't worry. Be an example. Paul is saying, what you have heard and seen, practice these things. I don't know how to keep repeating, how to keep emphasizing to all of you. Right thinking is crucial. You cannot have right thinking if you don't know the Bible. What do I mean? First of all, the Bible warns you. Let's read this together. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The Bible talks about a warfare. Spiritual warfare is real. Right now, there's a battle going on. Do you know where it is? In your mind. The battle is right now happening in your mind. Truth versus lies of Satan. Whatever you are thinking of, you better be conscious. Is it right thinking or wrong thinking? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive. You are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How in the world will you know you have wrong thinking? Well, in Joshua chapter 1, do you mind reading that, Joshua, together? What does it say? Verse 8 together. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it. The word meditate on it day and night is like the word that you read in Philippians. Let your mind dwell. That word dwell. Meditate. Ponder. Think. Same word, same idea. Let your mind meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. The purpose of guarding your thought and your mind is because it's going to impact your action. Right thinking, emotion, action. Your action will eventually impact your destiny. That's why it says here, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will make your way success. No shortcut to guarding your mind. No shortcut to the study of the Scripture. How many of you have read the entire Bible? Raise your hands. The entire Bible. Higher, higher. See, those of you who have not read the Bible, the entire Bible, you have to ask yourself, why am I not reading the entire Bible? If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, if you believe the Bible contains the promises of God, why are you not studying it? Again, it's a deception of the mind. Satan tells you it's not important. You see, your mind is the battleground. So you got to guard your mind. So, robber number two is what? Wrong thinking. So what's the topic today? Guard your joy. How do you guard your joy? Remember, God wants you to be joyful. You have joy, but guard it. Against what? What's robber number one? Worry. What's robber number two? Wrong thinking. What's the last one? Would you like to know? All right. If you like WW, I wanted it WWW, but I realized, keep it simple. Number three is covetousness. If you like W, you can just add one thing more. That's the word for covetousness. You always want more. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller, how much money do you need to make so that you'll really be happy? You know what he said? One more dollar. One more. We always want something more. What's wrong with covetousness? That's the opposite of contentment. You know, the Bible is very clear. The Bible warns you against covetousness. One thing more. Not learning contentment. Let's read this together. This you know with certainty, no immoral, impure person, or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Do you know what the Bible says? Idolater and covetousness are equal. How can that be? Notice the Bible says, we focus on immorality, we focus on impurity. Excuse me, they are all warnings, but what about covetousness, greediness, materialism? You guard it, because a covetous man is like an idolater. An idolater is somebody who has something other than God in his life. The most important person in your life, if it's not God, if it's something else, you are an idolater. That's idol in your life. For some people, idol can be a person, it can be money, it can be your prestige, whatever it is that you do it to take the place of God. In other words, idolater is having something or someone more important than God in your life. That will steal your joy. So beware of covetousness. So, what is the Bible telling us? Let's read together. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. At last you renewed your concern for me. He's now telling the Philippians the importance of contentment. You were concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. I have learned, everybody read, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Contentment is not natural. You need to learn this. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of both having abundance and suffering need. Many people fail to realize you need to learn contentment. It is not natural. Paul said, I learned it the hard way. Some people do not know how to live in abundance. They don't know how to survive prosperity. Let me warn all of you today. It is more dangerous spiritually when you are prosperous. Why? Prosperity makes you become proud. It makes you think you are so good. And it takes the place of God. Poverty, many times, will remind you to be prayerful. But either way, Paul is saying, I have learned to be content. And what's the secret of contentment? Let's read the next verse. Philippians 4:13, the most famous verse that many of you like. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The context of I can do all things is usually taken out of context. The context is this. God gives you the power to learn contentment. God gives you the power to live the Christian life as you ought to live. I teach my children, never self-confidence. I don't teach my children confidence in yourself. I teach my children confidence in God. So I teach God confidence. When I disciple people, I don't teach them self-confidence. You know what I teach them? God confidence. Be careful if you are being brainwashed by YouTube, by all of these people now, importance of self-confidence, listen to me. Don't even think you are able to do what God wants you to do in your own power. The Christian life is supernatural. I need the Lord. Do you need the Lord? Praise God. Therefore, you need God confidence. And then you will learn contentment. What's the difference between, let me teach you what is true contentment and what it is not. Are you ready? Contentment is learned. Contentment is not automatic. Contentment is appreciating what you have today. It is not focusing on what you do not have. Many people are miserable because they focus on what they don't have. Contentment is appreciating what you have right now. Being grateful and thankful. It is not being lazy. It is not being complacent. In other words, don't use contentment as an excuse for to be lazy. Oh yeah, I'm contented. No, no. Do your best. Leave the results to God, but learn to be contented in whatever circumstances you are in. Independent of circumstances, contentment is not having all you want. If you think you got to have something in order to be happy, that something becomes your idol. I remember a girl coming to my wife. She told my wife about her desire to be married. She was very sincere. A godly woman. And she's beautiful. You know, my wife told her, if you don't get married, if you don't have a boyfriend now, it's because God knows you don't need it. If you need it, God will give it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, repeat what I say. If you don't have it right now, that means you don't need it. If you need it, will God give it to you? How do I know? I'll show you the verse. Are you ready for that verse? But in the meantime, what is contentment? Contentment is centered on Christ. It is not focused on yourself. You know, the Bible is so clear. Let's read this together. Godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. God wants you to learn contentment. And to learn contentment, you have to have the perspective of Jesus. We have brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of it either. Do you agree? You brought nothing to this world. You cannot take anything out of it. So what is contentment? Well, contentment, let me share with you from the point of view of the Apostle Paul. Contentment, first of all, is being grateful. Paul was grateful. He's saying, you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. Even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once. So Paul is saying, I really appreciate your gift. He's not saying, I don't appreciate it. But what he's saying is very intriguing. Look at the next sentence. Not that I seek the gift itself, I seek for the profit which increases to your account. You know what Paul is saying? This is a very intriguing statement. It's something you need to analyze. Not that I seek the gift, even though you're giving me the gift, I thank you, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. So what Paul is saying is, the gift you are giving me, yes, I thank you, but it is really, I'm seeking it for your benefit. How can that be? Let me tell you. Let's read this together. According to Paul, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He himself said, everybody read now, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, contentment will help you appreciate what others have done for you. Paul is saying now, because of your giving, you are more blessed. Do you agree? Who are the happier people, takers or givers? Givers. Jesus promised, give, it will be given to you. How will God give it back to you? Pour into your lap a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. When you give to God, you know what Paul is saying? God will be the one to repay you. Paul is saying, I seek the profit for your benefit. Remember, you will never know this truth until you live it out. I have learned the blessing of generosity. I don't know about you. Contentment will lead to generosity. It will lead to gratitude. Remember, two kinds of people in this room, takers or givers. I pray And I praise God, in Shishia we have many generous people. Generosity is not the amount of money you give. God knows. It's really your heart. What is left behind? Yes or no? Now look at this verse. Paul is saying, I receive everything in full. Paul is saying, I thank you for everything, okay? Paul is thanking them. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. You know what Paul is saying? The gift you are giving me, thank you, but I want you to know it is your act of worship. Can you imagine? Giving is what? A fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So giving, for Paul, for the Bible, is an act of your worship to God. It's gratitude. Therefore, contentment and contentment alone will really lead you to giving. Let me repeat. The way to overcome greed, covetousness, is generosity and contentment. And then the most famous verse. Again, many famous verses, but this is one of them. Everybody read. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Many people get this out of context. The context of this verse, God will supply all our needs, is given to people who are generous. This is given to people who gives. And Paul is saying, my God will supply, everybody read, will supply, louder, not some, all. I don't know about your needs today. All your needs. Now, some people like to change. God will supply all your wants. No, not wants, need. God will supply all your needs. You need a car? God will give you a car. But don't tell God, Mercedes-Benz. That's not a need. That's a want. Understand? God will supply all what? Our needs. According to his riches. How rich is God? In other words, you can rest assured, God will never be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't afford to give you what you need. No. God is more than able. And if God is more than able to provide for your needs, then what you don't have is not what is good for you. What is good for you, will God provide? Yes. My God will supply what? All my needs. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. So this girl, when she learned that principle, she said, Lord, I thank you. I want a husband. I want to get married. But if not, it's okay because that's not my need. Would you believe it? 1 year later, I am Ninong and my wife is Ninang. Because this girl found the guy, and the guy was dead serious. The guy was ready to get married and he's a godly man. But God allowed her to meet this guy only when she surrendered her desire to God. Those of you single, are you ready to surrender that? You say, Lord, if you want me to get married, hallelujah. If you want me to stay single, hallelujah. So either way, are you happy? Listen to me. If you're not happy single, you will never be happy married. If you are not happy with what you are now, what you have now, do not think by having more, you'll be happy. Real joy is really not dependent on circumstances. It is your relationship with Jesus. So I don't know what's going on in your life, but the message of the book of Philippians is our God loves you. He wants you to have joy, but you have to guard your joy. Guard it against worry. Guard against wrong thinking. And the only solution is you have to saturate your mind with the Word of God and guard against covetousness. You have to learn contentment in Christ. And if you have not experienced Christ, how will you find real contentment? So I want to close with this verse for you to consider why it is important to know God, to have a relationship with Him. Let's read this together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. They who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. You notice what the Bible is saying? Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have heard about Jesus. You have religion. How will you know if a cake is good? You have to taste it. You have to eat it. How do you know Jesus is good? You have to receive Him. You have to surrender your life to Him. You will never know the goodness of God if it's all in your head. It has to come to your heart. You have to surrender your life. You have to trust Him. You believe in Him. How blessed, notice, how happy, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Many of us take refuge in money, in your position, in yourself. You need to find refuge in Jesus. No shortcut. And then He tells us, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Many of us do not hunger for God. You need to have a hunger. God has to help you develop a passion, a hunger to know Him, to want Him. Many of us focus on the blessing, but we fail to realize the blesser, the giver, is more important than the gift. So I don't know where you are spiritually. Do you really long for God? Do you have a hunger for God? If you don't have a hunger for God, perhaps you have religion. But religion will not save you. You need to have Jesus. Do you hunger to know Him more, love Him more? If you want to, pray with me as we bow our heads, and I'll help you. I'll pray for those who hunger, who wants to develop a hunger for God, okay? As your heads are bowed down, if you feel this message is for you, raise your hands. I'll pray for you. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need You. Lord Jesus, I need satisfaction, but that can only come from You. So I ask You, Jesus, I receive You, Jesus, I trust in You, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. Thank You for loving me. I now surrender to You my worries, my anxieties. I surrender them to You. I trust in You. And I pray for everybody here that we will draw closer to You, develop greater intimacy with You, make CCF a place where we can find intimacy with You and to worship You. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.